Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2496 with a release date of Friday, August 29th, 2025 to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. A prototype satellite for broadband faces launch delays. The Route 66 special event gets an eye in the sky, and remote operators are needed for the Andaman Island de-expedition. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2496 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent weekly amateur radio news and bulletin service. Now reporting from Picayune, Mississippi, here is Don Wilbanks, AE5DW.
Our top story takes us to Texas, where the company behind a prototype broadband satellite has announced delays in the project's launch. Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, has more details.
The U.S. mobile broadband provider that hopes to use amateur radio frequencies to support its planned satellite-based network has rolled back on the date for the launch of its new prototype satellite. This is the second delay by AST Space Mobile, which had originally hoped to launch the satellite, known as FM1, in August, and first postponed it to October or November. India's space agency, ISRO, confirmed the delay in a press conference with local Indian media, adding that FM1 would likely not launch until the first quarter of 2026. FM1, which has a phased array antenna, is designed to function as a cell tower from space. The announcement comes barely a week after the company said it expects to launch between 45 and 60 satellites by next year. No reason was given for the postponement, which was reported on the PC Mag website. AST Space Mobile is building its network in partnership with Verizon and AT&T and is considered to rival Starlink services, which are partnered with T-Mobile. Texas-based AST Space Mobile has asked the FCC to authorize its network use of amateur radio frequencies between 430 and 440 megahertz, a request that has drawn challenges from the amateur radio community. In July, the FCC assigned FM1 the call sign WP2XRX, which expires on July 1, 2027. Its license authorizes experimental operation for mobile satellite services only on 37.5 to 42 gigahertz and 2.235 and 2.245 gigahertz. This is Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
Ham radio helped turn the tide this month for a stranded sailing vessel off the California coast. Kevin Trotman, N5PRE, has that story.
Sailing off the coast of San Francisco on August 3rd, the captain and crew of four aboard the vessel Wind Chaser found that their boat had become dead in the water, adrift after its propeller got entangled with a rope. Without cell service available, the captain, Dennis Dickerson, KI6KQJ, reached out to the Maritime Mobile Service Network on 20 meters, contacting net control, John McGowan, K2JBX. After hearing that all aboard were safe, John said that he would check in with Dennis the next day because the crew hoped to paddle ashore for repairs then. That scheduled check-in proved significant. Park rangers at the hoped-for landing site, Point Reyes Marine Reserve, were initially hesitant to grant access to the boat because the reserve is so environmentally sensitive. According to net manager Jeff Savada, KB4JKL, John was able to help secure special permission for the boat to land for repairs. But by the time the critical permission was granted, propagation had changed. The boat could not be reached immediately, however, when conditions changed. Jeff, on the next shift, was able to deliver the good news. The boat was on its way. This is Kevin Trotman, N5PRE.
This year, the team of operators behind the annual Route 66 on-the-air special event are going above and beyond. Really above and really beyond. Andy Morrison, K9AWM, explains how.
Look up in the sky. It's not a bird. No, it's a plane, and it's piloted by Bill Hartzell, November 3, Whiskey Sierra Hotel. Bill will be using the call sign Whiskey 6 Yankee as the first-time aeronautical rover for this year's Route 66 on the air special event. When hams get on the air on September 6th, he'll be in the air, operating as this year's first-time bonus station through September 9th. Bill, a retired U.S. Air Force pilot from Oklahoma, will be flying about 7,000 feet high above traffic on the nation's mother road, making the trip from Chicago to Santa Monica and making QSOs with licensed hams on the ground who are near his route, which he will travel both eastbound and westbound during the event. He will be calling QRZ on 146.490 megahertz simplex. If you get him, it's a bonus. Either way, you can still get a clean sweep chasing the other stations. The 26th annual special event, organized by the Citrus Belt Amateur Radio Club, will remain active for a few more days after Bill's activations, coming in for a landing itself on the 14th. This is Andy Morrison, K9AWM.
A notable DXer from Iceland has become a silent key, as we hear from Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
DXers who looked forward to hearing a friendly, familiar voice from Iceland were saddened this month to learn that the contact they were hoping to log had become a silent key. The death of Odin Thor, TF2 MSN, on the 19th of August in Reykjavik was reported by the Icelandic Amateur Radio Association, sharing the news provided by his family. First licensed in 2011, Odin began as an enthusiastic operator on SSB, later embracing such digital modes as FT4 and FT8. According to Jonas Bjarnason, TF3JB, president of Icelandic Radio Amateurs, Odin had been in poor health for the past 30 years or so, following an accident on a fishing boat. Jonas told Newsline by email that ham radio was his life, almost 24 hours a day. In addition to being active locally on 2 meters, he was an enthusiastic participant in numerous events held by Icelandic radio amateurs, including Field Day. Odin was 62. This is Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Another noted DXer and leader in the radio community has become a silent key, as Stefan Kinford, N8WB, tells us.
Lou Dietrich, N2TU, gave priority to building community across the globe through radio, and he was a prominent advocate of that in his former role as chairman of the board of directors of the International DX Association. Lou became a silent key on the 15th of August. He'd been a de-expeditioner as well as a DXer, knowing that the thrill of the chase is only half of the challenge. He was part of the K1N activation of Navassa Island in 2015 and a team co-leader for the K5P Palmyra de-expedition in 2016. He was also part of the Sable Island CY0S de-expedition in 2023 and the St. Paul Island de-expedition CY9C in 2024. Lou was originally licensed as WV2RNW as a teenager in high school in the 1960s, and after his license lapsed, became relicensed in 1981. His obituary on the ARRL website noted that he had been part of the league's DX Advisory Committee. His awards from the league include the 10-band DXCC and the DXCC Top of the Honor Roll. He belonged to the Carolina DX Association. Lou was 78. This is Stephen Kinford, N8WB.
No one celebrates hurricane season, of course, but there is something to celebrate at this time of the year at the U.S. National Hurricane Center. Randy Sly, W4XJ, explains.
On the weekend of August 30th, the Hurricane Watch Net celebrates 60 years of service to the U.S. National Hurricane Center and communities impacted by the storms. The HWN began in 1965 when amateur radio operator Jerry Murphy, K8YUW, heard calls from hams in the Bahamas asking for information about Hurricane Betsy. Seeing the need for an organized net, Murphy began coordinating and relaying reports from hams in the Bahamas, Florida, and across the affected region. The current net manager, Bobby Graves, stated, quote, "When information is scarce and lives are at stake, amateur radio can be a lifeline," end quote. Today, nearly 60 volunteers across the United States, Canada, Bermuda, Honduras, Nicaragua, Puerto Rico, and Aruba relay real-time weather data and storm damage reports directly to the NHC's amateur station, WX4NHC. Since its founding, the net has supported 156 landfalling hurricanes, including 60 major hurricanes and 12 Category 5 storms. A special operating event commemorating the anniversary was held in early June, since the actual date fell during the peak hurricane season. This is Randy Sly, W4XJ.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio News Line, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the W0CRA repeater system in Denver, Boulder, and Colorado Springs on Sundays at 9 a.m. local time. In one California county, radios are becoming more and more of a safety net, as we hear from Ralph Squillaci, KK6 ITB.
In Sonoma County, California, floods, wildfires, and earthquakes are among the best reasons for becoming a radio operator. With that in mind, the county's Department of Emergency Management has entered the second year of a three-year program that includes helping more Sonoma Springs area residents to get licensed and get on the air. The initiative has been funded through a $70,000 federal grant. Emergency management officials are now preparing for training sessions in October that will prepare area residents for an exam leading toward a license to use handheld radios, especially at times when cellular telephone networks fail. The radios are part of General Mobile Radio Services, or GMRS, a licensed service operating between 462 MHz and 467 MHz. The county is coordinating with amateur radio operators in the North Bay Communications Cooperative and its auxiliary communication system. The goal is to coordinate frequencies so that the GMRS users can work seamlessly within the broader emergency communication system. The focus is on residents in the community of Sonoma Springs, which is classified as an evacuation zone when there are wildfires, but participants who live outside the area are also welcome to enroll. The county's program can supply as many as 175 of the radios to participants who successfully complete the program. The grant also covers fees for the license exam. Emergency management specialist Nancy Brown told the Sonoma News that radio is seen as the ultimate and most resilient backup plan. She said, quote, "No matter what happens, you have something that will work," end quote. This is Ralph Squillaci, KK6 ITB.
Next year's Andaman Island De-Expedition is looking for remote operators and giving special priority to young operators. Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF, has that story.
The team planning the Andaman Island De-Expedition in 2026 has an ambitious agenda. The goal is to log at least 100,000 QSOs while the team is on the air from the Indian Archipelago in the Bay of Bengal. Contacts from around the world are expected to keep the on-site crew of 18 busy, but organisers plan to add to the team by bringing remote operators, especially young licensed amateurs, on board. The remote team lead, Jerry W1VE, is a veteran of remote operations for the VP6A, E51D and other de-expeditions, and is hoping to replicate those successes with the Andaman Island de-expedition. Hams who participate in the remote operation will be required to have an Indian visa and an amateur radio license from India, even though they will not be physically present. Operators are to be selected by the 1st of April 2026. It promises to be a busy time once the activation gets underway on October 19, 2026. The operators expect to participate in the 2026 CQ Worldwide SSB contest representing India. They will also be activating three POTA sites between 27th and the 29th of October. The entity is also IOTA AS-001. Jerry asks that interested amateurs contact him directly via email at jerry@remote.radio. That's Jerry spelled G-E-R-R-Y at remote.radio. This is Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
In the world of DX, listen for Maxim OH70 operating as XW4YY from Laos from the 29th of August through to the 11th of September. Maxim will be on most of the HF band starting with 40 meters using SSB and FT8. See QRZ.com for QSL details. Adrian M1LCR will be on the air holiday style as SV8 stroke M1LCR stroke P from Paxos Island, IOTA number EU052, from the 2nd through to the 13th of September. Listen for him on 80 through 6 meters using SSB and RTTY, with his main activity to take place during the IARU Region 1 field day. See QRZ.com for QSL details. The 12th Borneo Amateur Radio Festival will be celebrated by members of the Amateur Radio Club Sarawak using the call sign 9M8BARF from the 1st to the 15th of September. The festival is being held in Sarawak, East Malaysia. See QRZ.com for QSL details. Harold, DF2WO will be active again as 9X2AW from Rwanda from the 1st through to the 27th of September. Harold operates CW, SSB, and FT8, FT4 using various bands, including 6 meters. He'll also be using the QO100 satellite. See QRZ.com for QSL details. And our final story takes us to Australia, where, for a few hours, one radio operator is returning ham radio to the former home of the First Lady of Radio in the state of Victoria. Graham Kemp, VK4BB, takes us there.
Elizabeth Hutchings, VK3HM, had the distinction of being the first YL licensed as an amateur radio operator in the state of Victoria, here in Australia. Radio apparently was in the family's genes. In the 1920s, her son Alan held the call sign VK3HL, and her daughter Marjorie was licensed as VK3HQ. Some 100 years later, on the Kalawata land where the family's old radio shack still stands, Jeff Smart, VK3GCM, is putting amateur radio back into action. He chose the property, known as Bryn Avon, as his QDH for the Australian Ladies Amateur Radio Association's annual competition. Jeff knew Bryn Avon from commercial consultancy work he had done, but he only learnt of its connection to ham radio after reading an article by Alara historian Jennifer Wardrop, VK3WQ. It's been a busy year of celebration for Alara, which was founded in 1975. The association's contest, held every year during the last full weekend in August, is one of the many ways the group has been marking the occasion. The rules of the international contest stipulate that YLs may work anyone they please, but men can only work YLs. As Newsline went to production, Jeff was making plans to be active from the farm on 40 metres. Whether operating from the home of a notable YL from Victoria gives him a winning edge in a YL association contest remains to be seen. Win or lose, no doubt this would meet with the approval of at least one radio pioneer from Victoria. This is Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
It's now even easier to send in your ham radio haikus to us here at Newsline. Visit our website at arnewsline.org, and as you compose your ode to your favorite online activity, we will help you use the correct number of syllables to make an authentic haiku. Submit your work and then sit back and wait to hear whether you're the winner of this week's challenge. The winner gets a shout out on our website where everyone can find the winning haiku. With thanks to Alara, Amateur News Daily, AMSAT News Service, ARRL, David Behar, K7DB, DX News, 425 DX Bulletin, FCC, Jeff Smart, VK3GCM, the Hurricane WatchNet, Jeff Savasta, KB4JKL, Jonas Bjarnson, TF3JB, Norval Kennedy, N3OUN, PC Mag website, shortwaveradio.de, Sonoma News, the Wireless Institute of Australia, YouTube, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind our listeners that Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer, nonprofit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operation. If you wish to support us, please visit our website at arnewsline.org and know that we appreciate you all. We also remind our listeners that if you like our newscast, please leave us a 5-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW in Picayune, Mississippi, saying 7-3. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2025. Amateur Radio Newsline retains ownership of its material even when retransmitted elsewhere. All rights are reserved.